passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one ohm at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to challenge everything and everyone. Our goal is to empower and expand and inspire and to challenge and to get the dishes in the kitchen sink done, whatever it takes. But this show is here for you. We are now a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Make sure you like the fan page while you're there. And you can go to the heading of tonight's show, and you can post any questions there, and we'll bring them on air. If you are listening to this other than 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night, then you're listening to one of the many replays. You obviously cannot call in at that point because you'd be calling into somebody else's show, and they may or may not appreciate it. However, you could still go to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You could still like the page, and you could still find the post, and we will make sure that we bring your comment out. We respond to it. We get answers for it. And so... Did I say all that fast enough for you? Tonight's show, as always, on the first Thursday of the month. This has been Thirst Quenching Thursday. This has been Neutral News Thursday. This is that first Thursday. And what it all boils down to, no matter what we call it, is it's me and Matt Connerton. And Matt, it's Matt Connerton Unleashed from IPM Nation. Matt joins us from 95.7 WMNH.
95.3.
What did I say?
There you go.
95.3. Well, if you went to 95.7, take four steps back.
Right.
Yeah, and it's all on the My Dr. Kevin Facebook page. We actually have a picture of that thing. He does a drive-by shooting show from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday. Where
very violent.
Yeah, so, well, you know, they talk about a lot of things on the show, but there is definitely a very political bent. We have Matt once a month on our show to bring some politics into the door, into the spiritual door of Dr. Kevin. You can also find out more about Matt at IPMNation.com. And if you go to IPMNation.com, you can also find the Dr. Kevin and Friends 24-hour a day, 7 day a week. Oh my God, I can't take that much of Dr. Kevin, Dr. Kevin TV channel. Matt, how are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Been a little under the weather, but I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there any particular weather storm you were being under? Tornadoes, hurricanes?
Bronchitis. No, just a case of bronchitis. No big deal.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're glad that your bronchial tubes made it onto the air this week.
Yes.
So, you know, Matt, I just don't know how you do a show 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, 4 to 6, guys, in Manchester, New Hampshire, and find enough to talk about mostly in our political system because there's just so little going on. Where do you spend things up?
I know, it
must be hard.
I scour the internet for interesting things. No, it's funny because I was talking to somebody about this the other day. You know, I started my show as a podcast, like a weekly 1 hour podcast back in 2011, the summer of 2011. And I remember back then, you know, every week I would try to figure out, okay, what are some things I can do during the show that are interesting enough that, you know, not only do I care about them, but I think the audience will be into it and whatnot. And, you know, it's a different world now. It's like my show now, it's, you know, it's 10 hours a week of content, you know, 5 days a week, and it's so easy. it's an embarrassment of riches, as they say. It really is. It's just easy to, you know, and we do try to keep it kind of light and fun on my show. We do get serious occasionally. In fact, the first 30 minutes of my program today was actually quite angry. But we try to have a lot of fun with it. Yeah, well, the first half hour of my show. So there's something coming up in Boston on October 16th at City Hall Plaza called the Don't Punish Pain Rally. And the reason the rally is called Don't Punish Pain is a serious matter, a very serious matter that we cover quite a bit on my show, is how the government has really tried to limit the physician's ability to write prescription pain medications, prescriptions, plural, for their patients. And, you know, they do this because, you know, our elected lawgivers and overlords have to look like they're doing something about the so-called opioid crisis. So, it doesn't matter if what they're doing is actually helpful or if it actually does more harm than good. They just have to look like they're doing something so that it looks good in a campaign ad so they can win re-election. So, you know, they pass these laws making it very difficult for doctors to prescribe pain medications. And what ends up happening is people who are legitimately chronically ill or suffering some sort of terrible malady who need pain medication are getting cut off and are needlessly suffering because the government is telling doctors, no, you can't prescribe anymore. That happened to Jenny, and it's happened to my mother. And it's, you know, people are committing suicide because they can no longer get access to the pain medications that they legitimately need. So that's why the rally is called Don't Punish Pain. We've had some great guests on my show talking about this. Dr. Red Lawhern, whom you might be familiar with, you know, he does a lot of work in this area. He's been on my show a few times talking about this. And, you know, and I got very emotional about it today on the show talking about the rally that's coming up because, like I said, I mean, this is directly affected. Two people whom I love very much. You know, my mother, she broke her back in a terrible car accident 3 decades ago and had been on a low dose of methadone to just, you know, help her to live and help her to function and help her to work a full-time job. And, you know, and then one day her doctor tells her, I can't prescribe it to you anymore. The government tells me I no longer can prescribe it to you. And, you know, I almost lost my mother. You know, she almost killed herself. So this is real. This is something I care very much about, and I get pretty angry. So but the first 30 minutes of my show today were literally filled with rage. But then we had fun for the other 90 minutes.
So was the rage all yours, or were other people calling in rage?
It was me, and I think people were almost afraid to call. I think I scared away the callers. I just got one call during that first 30 minutes, but people were really responding in the Facebook live chat, you know, because the show also goes out on Facebook on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page while I'm live. And people were, you know, I have a lot of listeners who also really care about this issue because they come to my show because, frankly, there just aren't enough shows out there that are talking about this. You know, I mean, there's lots of shows where they have these conversations about the opioid crisis. What do we do about the so-called opioid crisis? But they're not doing anything helpful because they're not tackling the issue honestly. You know, we have a heroin crisis in this country. There's people across the country who are addicted to heroin. And, but the problem is, you know, politicians say, okay, well, we have to look like we're doing something about it. So here's what we'll do. We'll pretend that people get hooked on prescription medications, and that leads them to heroin. So we'll start limiting what doctors can prescribe. And in fact, if you look at the data and the Center for Disease Control's own data and the DEA's own data shows that no, prescription meds do not lead to people using heroin. It is not, there is no correlation there. It does not work that way. And people who are overdosing on illicit fentanyl that they got on the street, they are not prescription drug users. There is no connection. So these sociopathic lawgivers and overlords that we elect, again, they got to look like they're doing something. So they pretend that they make up that there is a connection, and they say, well, here's what we're going to do about it. And, you know, and they just end up harming people. Millions of people are suffering now. Millions of pain patients in this country are suffering because they're being punished because of heroin addicts. And it's, I can't even tell you how much it messes me up. I'm sorry, what?
So first thing, Matt, is I also know people that are negatively impacted by this. I have talked to clients who are borderline suicidal because they can't get their medications, their mm-hmm. opioid-based medications that they truly and actually need from car accidents and all other sorts of things. I'm on the same page as you are. This person that you had on your show that you feel like gives a different view of the world, have them contact me. I'll have them on my show. Then there'll be another show that's talking about it, trying to get the truth out.
I'll do that. I'll get you guys connected. Absolutely.
Because, you know, I wrote this in an article a couple of years ago, year and a half ago, and it's like, you know, I might not have such a problem with our government trying to be parents if they weren't just really bad parents.
That's a good way of putting it. Yep.
And they're really narcissistic parents, and they're really abusive parents. And mm-hmm. that's my big objection to having our government be parents. And of course, one of my pet peeves on all of this is the fact that they try to force you and cajole you, and for a while they fined you if you didn't have health care, but there wasn't a health care out there that they approved of that actually included serious preventative medicine and natural alternatives, because mm-hmm. pharma doesn't make any money off of them.
Right.
And
right.
So we have this whole thing of that the problem is you're trying to make all of our decisions for us, and you're not necessarily competent. And do you remember in the movie Religious? I know you saw it. You had to have seen
oh,
it.
Oh, I did, and I loved it, yes.
I know. I own it. And every yeah. now and then in the last couple of years, I can't bring myself to watch it because it's like, okay, it's no longer entertaining because there are too many scary things actually now really happening that
sure.
were mocked in that movie. But you remember that senator saying something about they didn't need to be – it wasn't like you needed to have a high IQ to be a senator?
Yes. Yes, of course.
And, you know, and it's so true. And the problem is that – especially when you have that split focus, that you have people that are elected to office and there is no intelligence test.
Right.
We don't even know if they read these research studies that they understand them.
Right.
And as
right.
you pointed out, they're sitting here and they say, okay, so what's going to keep me in office, not what is the right thing to do here, but part of them just don't even understand they don't understand the issue. They're not smart
right.
enough to understand the issue. They don't know what the alternatives are. I had somebody that was going back and forth with me on a Facebook line, and because I took the interesting choice to make a post on the Vice President Mike Pence page because it showed up. I don't know why it showed up for me because I didn't follow it, but it showed up on my timeline. And I said, you know, that if there was any morals or ethics or values left in the GOP, that they would be supporting impeachment. Oh, did I start a fury? Oh, Pence posted something about how, you know, stand up this witch hunt for our president, blah, 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 stand up. And so I said that. And so you can imagine I got some very interesting comments back.
Oh,
this
yeah,
one guy was,
I'm sure.
was kind of going back and forth. And we were debating the Electoral College, and we were going back and forth. And then he finally said something, and I could just see, like, he would not address what I was talking about. He would pick on the fact that I used, you know, like, well, the electoral, well, the popular vote never elects a president. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're correct. It's the Electoral College. But there's only been two times when it hasn't been the popular vote that has been in alignment with Electoral College in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then he still ticked at it, you know, because he couldn't really respond. He could only try to see if he could find nitsy things. And then he said something about, like, all of this stuff on climate, you know, like, you know, all of this crap they're trying to sell us that there's climate, you know, about these climate changes, these supposed climate changes. And I just ended the conversation. I said, a climate denier, eh? Well, I said, only a fool argues with an idiot. This conversation is over.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I can't even talk to you. I can't even talk to you. And I think it was that line that somebody thought that they were going to do the brilliant thing of humiliating me or something by
right.
saying, did I tell you this? I don't think this happened in our last show. They put,
no, no.
They put Kevin Ross Emery is gay, so that explains it all.
Wow.
And I said, homophobic much? Question mark. I said, I suppose you still want the women in the kitchen and you want people of color in slave irons. You're pathetic. Well, let me tell you, nobody else on the line would touch that comment. And that man
yeah.
never responded to me again.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's really brutal out there. And, you know, do you think we'll be right back because I said the magic word in the first segment, but we haven't really get to it. And that's that peachy keen term, impeachment. We'll be right back with Matt Connerton here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm here, Dr. Kevin.
I'm here. Hello. I'm on. Oh, yeah. Hello, guys. Welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. And here with Matt Connerton as we're talking about what's going on in the world. And you can join us at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. And besides that, you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N, and let and post your comment there, and we will get back to you. So, Matt, I know there's been all sorts of conversations that must have gone on, and our last show, my last show actually was with somebody you know, Lori Powers Otto.
Yes.
And we talked about Greta Thunberg, and we talked about Autumn Pelletier, and we talked about Maria Kopenny. We talked about all of these teenage girls that are out there changing the world. And so I do want to do a little follow-up on that that I think you'll find interesting, that Greta Thunberg has actually come out, and she said that they're doing all this hate stuff. They're calling her mentally ill. They're right. Saying that Sweden doesn't support her. And I've been challenging some of this stuff. I flooded one woman's line with the American thoughtless, also known as the American thinker, is such a piece of trash that does yellow journalism like it was born to be a canary and takes out one out of context thing and creates a headline. And one of them was Sweden doesn't even support climate change. And I posted like six links that all showed up as articles of everything Sweden's been saying, including calling our country to task in September. So, you know, So all of this stuff is going on and all of this thing, but she just came out and said that her response to all the haters is they must really fear us.
Mm. It's a good response.
That 16-year-old girl has it over head and shoulders over some of these idiots that are stretching the truth, lying. Some of it's just outright lying. Some of these headlines are just lying. I don't know how they can't be illegal because they're lying. I mean, if you put a lie in print for the public, I guess, I don't know. Is it really freedom of speech? I don't know.
It's right.
Like I don't know. They're hazy ears. So I want to know, first of all, because I bet that many of the listeners right now don't even know about this. So we'll get to the first whistleblower's complaint. We'll get to the impeachment stuff because we do want to talk about it and what's going on. What do you think about this second whistleblower's complaint?
Oh, excuse me. Now, which one are you referring to?
The IRS one.
Now, see, I haven't really had a chance to look at that yet. You might have to fill me in a little bit on that.
Okay, so an IRS official filed a whistleblower complaint that a political appointee improperly blocked the tax audit of the president and the vice president under political pressure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, doesn't surprise me. Because we've heard rumors of that for a while. But so now there's an actual whistleblower who is saying this.
There is a whistleblower who is saying this.
Okay.
That says that, and of course, there is supposed to be a firewall between political appointees and that arm of the IRS whose duty is to audit the president and the vice president's taxes. And
so,
that line was crossed.
So Pence is implicated in this?
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting because he's been pretty good at keeping his nose clean throughout this whole, you know, Trump administration debacle. He somehow manages to insulate himself most of the time. Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
I'm going to have to take a closer look at this later after the show. Hmm.
Yep. Yep. This is just some of the breaking news that's going on that the head of the IRS the political appointee head of the IRS blocked the required audit. And of course, what we're hearing is that, you know, that, of course that didn't happen. And it's somebody's based it on a conversation with another employee, and so it doesn't count. That one IRS employee was told by another IRS employee that they were stopped from doing the audit that's required. So interesting. So what do you think? How many more whistleblower complaints do you think are going to come out because people are getting emboldened that just maybe they can topple the dictator before they get found out and fired or thrown into the Hudson River with a pair of cement shoes, depending on which way you look at it. Go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, how much can be investigated at once? You know, there's so many investigations going on at this point. I don't know. I think there is actually a danger if there's too many. If there's a pattern here, if there's too many whistleblowers, I think that it almost becomes difficult for you know, the Democrats are in a tough spot because if you know to try to impeach Trump successfully, they really need kind of the you know a large segment of the public behind them. And I think if there's too many whistleblowers or too many investigations going on at once, it almost becomes difficult to keep the public focused on what's happening. You know what I mean? So I think there's almost a risk of too much information. But no, it'll be interesting to see if we see even more whistleblowers. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, and I agree. I think there's a point at which it loses the purpose. And I hope that it doesn't happen that they get so many whistleblowers that it gets such a muck and mire that the public just turns around and like, it's like, so, you know, it's no big deal.
Right.
You know, because the American people are notorious for becoming apathetic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of
and,
course.
You know, the things that they become apathetic to is frightening. They've pretty much become apathetic to the mass shootings unless it's broken a record of some kind or it was
right.
In their town. If it was in somebody else's town, go ahead.
No, I think people get numb. People just get numb to it.
Well, and, you know, it's a funny thing because there is this whole psychology of when something happens to somebody, when something horrible happens to somebody that's good or innocent, the only way we can feel safe is somehow to make them feel guilty, to make the victim at fault. Because if the victim is at fault, then they feel safer. And this is a notorious thing that happens when a woman gets raped. If we can blame the woman for the rape and there was something that she did, then other women feel safer because they're not her, so they could never get raped because she somehow, but it's a psychological need for safety.
Right.
I need to be safe. I need to, and so we're watching this with mass shootings. We're watching this with politics. I can't take it anymore. My brain's going to burst, which is actually not true. If you actually, you know, they say we only use 10% of the brain, but if you turn the other 9% on instead of having the lights out and functioning on one, your brain really wouldn't explode. But, I, you know, who's going to – they're not going to listen to me.
Right.
So what do you see the play out as? Do you think the GOP – could take that there are people in the GOP that want revenge on Trump, guaranteed, that don't like him, that have been bullied by him, that are afraid of him. Do you think that this could get bad enough that if he's impeached in the House, the Senate could use this as the way to dump him?
I'm sure that, well, the short answer is no. And the reason I say that is I'm sure they all hate him secretly. I'm sure they all despise him, but they won't dump him because then they incur the wrath of the voters of the cult of Trump. You know, Trump's approval rating among Republicans is typically approaching 90%. You know, it's like when Trump joked back during the campaign about he could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not lose any support. I mean, that is demonstrably true. Most MAGA people will excuse anything. There is literally nothing this man can do that will upset them. You know, I always talk about the farmers, great example. Trump's trade policies have decimated the agriculture sector of the economy. Farm bankruptcies are at a record high. And yet polling data shows farmers don't blame Trump. They blame Washington. They blame the Fed. They'll find anyone to blame but Trump. That's the hold he has on the voters. So, and that's also why I think we're seeing a record number of Republicans retiring, not seeking reelection, because they would rather run for the exits than dare stand up to daddy and then incur the wrath of the voters. You know, nobody wants to be primaried. That's humiliating. So, and that's what'll happen, right? So no, I mean, that's the thing. That's why Pelosi was in such a terrible situation. You know, she kept resisting and resisting, proceeding with impeachment until finally it became too much. It's like she has to go forward with it, right? But you know, we know how this ends. I mean, you know, the Senate will acquit him. The House can move to impeach, but the Senate will acquit him. It's a Republican-controlled Senate. And my concern is, and I think this is Nancy Pelosi's concern, which is why she resisted for so long, it will only embolden him going into the 2020 election. It will only energize his base even further, you know, because they will want to protect him at all costs. And I really believe it actually helps him in the end. So it's a very strange time.
So you're not believing any of these polling numbers coming out saying that there are actually Republicans now that are, I mean, I've seen two or three different polls that say that there's been a movement among the Republicans that support Trump and that those numbers are down. I've seen at least three different polls in the last, since this Ukraine thing, since he's had these meltdowns, since he's owned up to the fact of what he did by saying there was nothing wrong with it. So I'm seeing polls that say these Republican numbers actually have started to move for the first time. Are they, do you just think that they're all wrong, or?
No, I mean, I believe the numbers, but I think it's an aberration. It's not going to matter in the end. I mean, I also see, like I said, I mean, I saw an approval poll the other day that showed him at, I think, 89% approval among Republicans. Now, granted, that means 11% of Republicans disapprove of him, which I think accounts for the polling data that you were just talking about. Yeah, there's Republicans who disapprove of him, but it's his numbers, you know, of approval within the Republican Party are so high, even if there is some movement downward, it's still, I mean, he's very safe. I don't know. I think, I mean, it's astonishing to say, but I think despite everything that's happening, I still think he has a really good shot at a second term. I think he's going to lose the popular vote by an even larger margin than last time, but I think he'll carry all the same states because it's his hold over these people. Like I said, you know, I use the farmers as an example. It really is like a cult. Like, it's almost supernatural. And you know what I think it really is, though, honestly? And I hate to say this because it sounds so cynical, but I think what it really is Republicans finally have somebody who is willing to be kind of open with the racism, you know, like, you know, being okay with a send her back chant, for example, at one of his rallies. I think Republicans like the casual racism, you know. I think he gives them license to be who they really are, you know. That's why we've seen such a rise in anti-Semitism online and things like that. I think they love that about him. And that's why he can do no wrong, you know, because he's a reflection of them, truly a reflection of them. There's nothing DC about him, you know, and I hate to say it, but I think that's what it really is. And that's why he has such a hold on them. And I don't know how you beat somebody like that. I really don't.
Well, they, you know, so what I hear you say is that Trump is the face of bigotry, and the bigots are all supporting him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, look, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily a bigot if you're a Trump supporter, but if you are a bigot, you certainly are a Trump supporter. You know what I mean? I'm not saying all Trump supporters are bigots, but I would definitely, I think it's safe to say all bigots are Trump supporters.
I agree, but I also think that there's a very subtle bigotry that happens in almost all Trump supporters, and it's not an outward bigotry, but it's the loss of white supremacy. Within the foreseeable future, within a few years or a decade at most, whites are no longer going to be the majority in this country.
Correct. Right. Yeah. The browning of America is what they call it on Fox News.
Yep. And the browning of America is still a kind of bigotry, because that's why they like Trump, because he wants to make America white again. That's right.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to our final segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world. Wait for it. One Om at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show on the first Thursday of the month, as always, we have our beloved Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, where he takes on absurdity, parody, and politics, which I think are all the same thing. From 4 to 6, Monday through Friday at 95.3 WMNH in Manchester, New Hampshire, but you can also hear it live on IPMNation.com. So are they the same? Parody, absurdity in politics? Am I just being redundant? Am I saying the same word just in a different way? What do you think?
No, it's kind of how we treat it on my show, you know. I mean, like I said, we do get serious sometimes, but overall, I mean, I try to treat it all like the giant circus that it is. You know, we play a lot of political song parodies. We do, you know, recently, you know, of course, John Hopwood. Recently on the show, John Hopwood and I did an on-air dramatic performance of the Ukraine call, the transcript, which it turns out isn't actually the transcript, but the so-called transcript of Trump's call with President Zelensky of Ukraine. I played Trump, and my Trump impression is not great, admittedly, but John Hopwood played Zelensky, and he really threw himself into the role. I think it's the funniest thing we've ever done on the show, actually. And if people want to check that out, if you go to the IPM Nation YouTube channel, you'll see it's one of our recently uploaded videos of John Hopwood and I doing the performance of the call, and it's really good. Hopwood as President Zelensky is hilarious. I'm not good at accents, but he is, and he can do accents very well. It's just really, really good.
Well, you must tell John I said hello.
Yes, absolutely.
So I've got two questions for you as we're going into this last segment. I've got two practical questions for you. So I'm working. Yes. I don't know if it's definitely going to happen. There's always the whole clearance thing. But it's a possibility that our next show, I'm going to be shooting live from the Nashua Pete Buttigieg headquarters. They're going to try to get a communication director to come down and field questions. And we may actually have some people in. We're going to actually do it as an event and see if we can have some people in the audience. I scheduled it, and again, I'm waiting for the clearance, so it could not, might not happen, but I scheduled it to happen so that it was the show that we share, because I thought that, you know, since we always discuss politics, it would be great. And I'm going to try to Facebook live it as well.
So, okay.
Unfortunately, I know there's no way for you to get off your show at 6 on my show at 6 and be physically present for it. I wanted to give you a heads up, and we'll communicate between now and then. But I'm kind of excited about the idea of maybe doing a show around and with some of the Mayor Pete people, because, you know, as my husband calls him, he's my political crush. I'm going to ask you this question on air, and feel free to say no. I have been invited to a Democratic dinner next Thursday night. Any interest in substitute hosting for me so I can go rub elbows with the Democratic hoi-poi in the area?
Yeah, I'm actually just checking one thing. I'm going to tentatively say yes, and I can probably give you a definite answer before the end of the show. I know I have an event coming up on a Thursday, and I just have to make sure it's not that Thursday. But most likely I can, yes.
Yep. It's been in my back of my consciousness that I was going to go ahead and do this, and then I was like, oh, wait a second. It starts at 6 and my show starts at 6. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to put Matt on the spot live on air and say, Matt.
What date is that? Is it the 10th?
Yeah. Is that your
event? Oh, that's fine. No, that's fine. My event is on the 17th. So, next Thursday, that is, count me in. I can definitely do that.
Great. I have to get back and make sure and follow up on the invitation. But so next week, you may or may not have Matt as your substitute co-host. Feel free to come in. and join us to find out, because it's going to be a surprise, because obviously I have, if that opportunity to do that has gone sideways. So being at the Democratic dinner, part of me wants to say, maybe I should just do a live radio show from there. What do you think?
It's not a bad idea.
So I want to go. So I'm going to ask you this question. I know you're so focused on that, you know, Bozo is going to get 4 more years in the White House. And I'm just not as convinced. I'm still not convinced. So I'm going to ask you this question, which is, so do you think that Jeff Flake is lying when he says that there are like 35 senators who would jump ship if they could do it privately and vote for it to impeach him?
No, I think he's probably right, because I think, yeah, if they could do it privately, sure, because I think they probably secretly hate him. Well, if they could do it privately and not have to answer to the voters for it, I think they would. I think they'd love to have Bob Pence as president. I'm not sure what's worse, but I'm sure they would much rather have Pence. He'd give them a lot less headaches. You know? Oh yeah. No, I think Jeff Flake is probably right about that.
Okay. Now, I don't know the Senate rules, and you get much more into politics than I do, though we know I've been getting dragged in lately. You want to be my campaign manager?
You want to run?
I have days I can't even walk. No. I don't know what I would run for, to tell you the truth. Dog catcher.
To start.
Senate rules. Does it have to be a public vote in the Senate?
Yeah, they can't. Yeah, they can't do a private vote. So, it's not really an option.
I didn't know if it was something that, because, you know, Mitch keeps on saying the Senate has no choice. We have to bring it up if the House passes impeachment. Like, there is no end run. But I didn't know if there was any flexibility that Moscow Mitch would have, because you know he can't stand him has done that. Now, do you think that if they give him a get-out-of-jail-free card and this impeachment goes forward to the point that it actually happens and they give him a get-out-of-jail-free card, do you think that that could push people to flop the Senate, who are afraid of having what's been happening in the last 2 years, which is nothing's getting done because the Senate won't do anything on anything that the House sends it, pretty much.
Well, I think the Dems will pick up seats in the Senate, yeah.
So what is your favorite fantasy moment of what would happen with a completely Democratic Congress and Trump as president? Think about it for a second. What do you think would be the greatest? What would be the greatest moment on the greatest show on earth in that?
Oh well, with a democratically controlled House and Senate, I think the greatest moment would be a successful impeachment and removal.
So you think
that'd be the greatest moment?
You think they'd go back and revisit it if you ended up with both houses Democratic?
Oh, like if it had already been,
No,
that wouldn't fly. No, I mean they'd probably make his life hell. I don't know. I mean, geez, Trump would be a lame duck at that point. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It'd be fun watching them make his life miserable.
Yeah, I think he could end up either with a heart attack or a stroke. He'd be constantly hearing the word no, and I think I'm not saying I wish this upon him.
I think
he could stroke out. I mean, or have a heart attack, because you know he would literally be at the hands of quote unquote his enemies, because that's how he sees it. That's
right.
His view of the world. You know,
right.
And so, you know, so I think it could be any set of terms of events. Do you think he's going to keep Pence? But there's a lot of noise that he may dump Pence and bring somebody else in who he thinks might give him a more solid ticket.
Yeah, I know there's that story is out there that he was considering dumping Pence for Nikki Haley. I think that would be a very strong ticket, but I don't think it's going to happen. I really find that hard to believe. There was an interesting moment recently on Fox and Friends. They asked him if Mike Pence ran in 2024, would Trump endorse him? And Trump kind of hedged on that and said, well, you know, we'll have to see. It's a ways off. You know, I love Mike, but, you know, we'll have to see. But I don't think it really meant anything. I think he probably likes kind of toying with Mike Pence the way he likes to toy with other people. But I don't think there's anything to it. I don't think he's actually going to dump Pence.
So moving to something more local, since we're both New Hampshire chaps, even though this is a international radio show, Corey Ludinski, does he stand a chance against Gene Shaheen?
Well, it's funny you bring him up because I played the clip today of, I don't know if you saw this, he was
on Fox News.
Yes, I played that clip. Yeah, he seemed like he was drunk or maybe on some sort of medication or something. He did not seem like himself. No, I don't think he has any chance. I mean, Republicans will support him no matter what, and Democrats won't support him, but independents won't support him because, I mean, you know, her campaign, I mean, all they have to do is put in a campaign ad, a clip of him testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee and just outright saying admitting that he has lied to the media. And then justifying it as, well, they lie about him and the media lies all the time, so it's okay. I mean, you know, the guy just flat out proclaimed himself to be a liar. So, you know, that's gold for a campaign ad. No, I don't think he has any chance.
Okay. So, well, yeah. We're going to see how all of this continues to unfold or what we're going to get stuck with. So I know you don't think anything is gonna move Trump. Do you think, though, that we could see, as some of this has gone on, because I don't know if you heard the whole before Lindsey Graham ever even read the transcript, he was saying what garbage it was and that the phone call was fine, and then somebody called him on the fact that he hadn't even read it yet.
Yeah, that's not unusual, unfortunately. I mean, look at all these Republicans who proudly proclaim that they've never read a single page of the Mueller report, and yet they're so certain that it 100% exonerated him. You know.
Well, the only way
it's typical.
The only way for you to think that the Mueller report 100% exonerated Trump was to not have read it.
Right, exactly. So as long as that's why they don't read it, I think, because you know, then they can continue to just wallow in their ignorance.
Yeah. Well, they may not, you know, and it may just be a budgetary issue. They may not have anybody there to explain the big words to them. They can't hire somebody to explain the big words.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what do you think, if any, are going to be the twists and turns around this Ukrainian call? Do you think that they're going to be caught trying to destroy files? Do you think that they're going to be caught red-handed, tampering with evidence? And if they are, how do you not vote guilty if they're caught red-handed?
Well, you know, the one thing they might get caught doing is harassing and trying to intimidate the whistleblower, and they are not supposed to do that. I mean, Trump has already publicly been threatening him and trying to intimidate him, And I'll tell you, I will not be surprised if we eventually find out that there have been some direct threats made either in phone calls or emails to that whistleblower. And that, you know, that's what I'm really, you know, keeping my eyes open for. Have they been threatening the whistleblower, threatening the whistleblower's safety, you know, using some sort of mob tactics, you know, and really trying to make the whistleblower uncomfortable. Sometimes Trump kind of talks like a mob guy, some of the language that he uses. Yeah. So.
Yeah. He watched too many Al Capone movies as a kid, and then as an adult, he binge watches The Sopranos, I'm sure. You know, they were his heroes. So, any thoughts on standing on the White House lawn and inviting China to investigate Hunter and Joe Biden? how brassy can you get? You just invited a foreign power to participate? Quick thought.
Yep, yet again.
Okay, thanks, Matt. I will be in touch about next week. Have a good week here.
All right, Dr. Kevin.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.